Turn in our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 17. It's on page 645 of the Pew Bible. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. Please give your attention now to the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. God bless the reading of His holy word. And now let's take our blue Psalter hymnal, turn to page 62. Page 62, Lord's Day 50. This evening we'll be reading question 125. I'll read the question and together we can read the answer. What does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. Well, boys and girls, earlier today you hopefully sat down to eat a meal. And what did you do before you began to eat? You probably said a prayer, right? Thank you, Lord, for this food that you have given us to eat. Please bless it to our bodies. Maybe your words were a little different, but we probably all prayed something very similar to that. Well, beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, I think that is a good practice to pray before a meal. It's a good practice to give thanks to the Lord for the food that He has graciously provided for us. But there's a danger to praying before meals. And the danger is that it can become routine. We can end up saying the words without really thinking about them, without really meaning them. So sometimes we need a reminder about why we are praying these words. Are we really thankful to God for the food that He has provided us? When you pray those words, does it hit you that every bite you take comes as a gift, a gracious gift from God? Congregation, Jesus commands us to pray the words, give us this day our daily bread. And the only way that we can truly pray those words from our heart is if we understand that we do totally depend upon God to give us our food. And I think in our society, this can be a challenge. It can be a challenge for us to understand how much we depend upon God. It's very easy for us to take the basic physical necessities of life for granted. See, if I get up in the morning and there's no bread sitting on the counter for me to make toast with, well, I can just go over to the freezer and take out another loaf. And if there's no bread in the freezer, well, I can just drive a couple miles down to Fred Meyer to pick some up. Do I really need God for my daily bread? Do I really need to ask Him, give us this day our daily bread? Can't I just take care of my daily bread myself? Well, congregation, the Bible teaches us that we must depend upon God for all of our needs. And our scripture passage this evening warns us of the danger of trusting in ourselves, of trusting in our own ability. So this evening, I hope that we all leave with an understanding of the fact that we must trust in God alone to provide our daily bread. And so first, tonight, we're going to consider how we express our trust in God. And second, we'll answer the question why we must put our trust in God alone. So how do we express our trust in God? It's quite simple, actually. By praying the Lord's Prayer, right? We pray to Him. We ask Him, give us this day our daily bread. Our catechism puts it this way. We pray, Lord, do take care of all our physical needs. And that starts with a prayer for our daily bread, all the food that we need for our daily sustenance. But this evening, I want to think about bread in particular, because bread is a very good example of the things that we are supposed to ask God for. Yes, bread, in saying, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus is telling us, you know, we're to ask Him for all of our food. But He uses bread for a reason. So what do we know about bread? Well, for one thing, bread is very inexpensive. You get a lot of calories for very little cost. That makes bread a good food for poor college and seminary students who are struggling to make ends meet. So first, bread is cheap. It's not very expensive. And second, bread is a staple. Now, what does that mean? Bread is a staple. It's a basic item of food. You go to the grocery store, you expect them at least to have the staples. I worked at Fred Meyer as a grocery clerk. Actually, I filled the bread aisle, and I managed the bread aisle, and I was supposed to order all the bread. Well, one time, the bread went on sale, and I had forgotten to order extra bread. So the next day, I came into the store, and the shelf was empty, and I said, oh, no. So my manager comes up to me and tells me, there's some things in the store that you don't run out of, and bread is one of those. Bread is a staple. You know, bread and milk, we don't run out of those. You need to make sure, always, to be careful to order enough bread. And she had a very good point, because I have a similar feeling. If I walk into a grocery store and there's no bread on the shelf, I'm a little bit frustrated, because you expect them to have bread at the grocery store. It's a very basic item. Okay, so bread is inexpensive, bread is a staple, it's a basic food item. And we could also add to that that bread is pretty boring and mundane, right? Most of us probably don't get super excited to see bread on our plate or in your lunchbox. Now, maybe there are some bread artisans among us who like to bake their own bread, but for most of us, it's just something that we get to eat. You know, it's a basic food item. It's not something to get too excited about. So all those things being true of bread, why would Jesus use bread for His example of food? Why would He tell us to ask God for bread, one of the cheapest, most basic, most boring items on your plate? Why wouldn't He tell us to ask God for steak or lasagna, something a little more fancy? That's a good question. And I think the answer is that Jesus wants to teach us that we must depend upon God for even the smallest, most basic, most ordinary needs in our life, even our bread. We should be incredibly thankful to God, even for that little slice of bread, because but for the grace of God, we would not have it. Now maybe it will help us to understand why we should be so thankful for that bread if we think about the process of how that bread got on our plate. So boys and girls, let's think about this. What had to happen to put that sandwich in front of you? Well, first, a farmer had to plant some seeds, he had to water his field, and finally he had to harvest a crop of grain. And then a mill had to process that grain into flour. A bakery baked bread from that flour and put that bread into packages. Then a truck driver had to ship that bread from the bakery to the store, where a stocker took it and put it on the shelf. That was me while I was at Fred Meyer. And then your mom and dad had to go pick up that bread from the store, spend their hard-earned cash to bring it home for you to eat. All of that stuff was necessary. If one of those things hadn't happened, you wouldn't have a sandwich sitting in front of you. And guess what? God was the one who made sure that all of that happened for you. God was actively working throughout the whole process to make sure you had your daily bread. It was Him who made sure that you would have bread on your plate today so that you could eat it and not go hungry. And that's true of all of the food that God provides for us. That's also true of the house that God puts over our head. That's true of the car that God gives us to drive in. That's true of everything we are and everything we have. God has given it all to us. So isn't that something to be thankful for? Isn't that a good reminder as well? That we should ask God to give us this day our daily bread, because He is the only one who is powerful enough to give good gifts like that. And you see also, with this bread, if we have to depend upon God for the littlest thing, like bread, how much more should we realize that we must depend upon God for the bigger things? Let's take this farther as well. If we depend upon God for our physical needs, how much more for our spiritual needs? And you see, that's where the teaching of our catechism takes us. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are asking God, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that You are the only source of everything good. When we understand that we depend upon God for something so small as our daily bread, that should help us to remember we depend upon God for everything. Of course, our problem is that we have become very self-sufficient in our society. We have a hard time understanding that God really is in control of whether we eat another meal or not. It's very easy for me to say, you know, I've got savings in the bank. I've got a good job. I've got skills in case I lose this job, I'd be able to find another. I've got a good work ethic. And even if that all doesn't work out, I've still got the welfare system to fall back on. And what ends up happening when we think that way is that we end up trusting in all of our safety nets instead of trusting in God. Affluence and wealth can be dangerous if we allow it to get to our heads. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. So on page 153, Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18. Apparently we're not alone in the struggle between trusting in man and trusting in God. God warned His people, Israel, starting in verse 11 of chapter 8. God warned His people, Israel, to take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware! Lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember that the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And I want us to notice especially those last two verses. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. You see, congregation, we may pride ourselves in being hard workers. We're not sitting around slacking off. We work hard. We hold to the principle that the Apostle Paul taught, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. But I think that our problem is that we can so often forget that the only reason we can work, the only reason we are able to work, is because God has graciously given us the ability to do so. So yes, we do depend upon God for our daily bread. We depend upon God for everything. Congregation, the next time you pray those words, remember that you did not build this by yourself. Apart from God's grace, we cannot even put a slice of bread upon our children's plate. Parents, if we realize that, would that help us to pray more fervently and more frequently? So let's continually be asking God for His grace so that we express our trust in Him. Now the second point we must deal with in tonight's sermon is why. Why we must put our trust in God alone. And the first reason we must put our trust in God alone is because, as our catechism instructs us, neither our work and worry nor God's gifts can do us any good without His blessing. So our catechism lists three things that are worthless apart from God's blessing. The first two of those are work and worry. It doesn't matter how hard you work, how great of a job you've got, if you don't have God's blessing, you don't have anything. And the same is true of worry. You can make the most detailed plan that covers the next 5 years of your life. You can cover every contingency. You know, if this doesn't work out, I'll do this. If this doesn't work out, I'll do that. But ultimately, in the end, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Now understand, this does not mean that work is bad or planning is bad. Those things are good. But the important thing is that we don't work or worry as a substitute for seeking God's blessing. We don't do those things instead of praying and asking God to give us our daily bread. This is so crucial for us to remember. As we work, as we plan out our lives, we need to ask ourselves, why are we planning? Why are we working? As we work, are we looking to God to give us the strength to finish our work? Are we continually praying to Him, Lord, help me to do my job well. Help me to provide for my family. As we work, are we seeking God's blessing and praying continually? Or are we working ourselves ragged because we're afraid that God will not provide for us? Or are we on the other side of that? Are we working because we are proud and we want to say, I can do this. I can take care of myself. What's our attitude as we work? So our work and worry do us no good without God's blessing. That tells us we should work prayerfully. But our catechism also tells us that not even God's gifts, not even the gifts of God, can do us any good without His blessing. It's one thing to talk about our work and our worry, but how can we say that God's gifts cannot do us any good apart from His blessing? Well, the answer is that God gives gifts to everyone. God gives gifts to the good and to the evil. Scripture tells us that God makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. But do God's gifts ultimately do the evil any good? Do they ultimately do the unjust any good? No, God's gifts end up leaving the evil people, the unjust people, more guilty. Because those people reject God's good gifts. They refuse them. And they refuse to give God thanks for them. So we need more than God's gifts. We need God's blessing on those gifts so that we may receive them with a thankful heart. And we do not have God's blessing if we do not trust in Him. Let's turn now to our scripture passage, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 6. Page 645. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. It's kind of a discouraging couple of verses, isn't it? But this is the reality for anyone who puts his trust in man rather than in God. Notice in verse 5 that the Lord is describing someone who turns, whose heart turns away from the Lord. And our heart will be fixed on the Lord only if we see Him for who He is. Only if we see Him as being the good God, kind, the overflowing fountain of all good, the only source of everything good. That's who our God is. But this man who trusts in man does not see God that way. He does not trust in God. See, if we believe in who God is, that He is good and kind and the source of all good, then it shouldn't be hard for us to love Him for who He is, to cling to Him with everything we are, to trust in Him, to be our comfort, to be our supply, to be our provider. But the person the Lord describes in verses 5 and 6 is one who refuses to see the Lord who He is and refuses to entrust himself to the Lord. Notice in verse 5, towards the beginning there, the Lord says that this person is already cursed. He's already beginning to receive his punishment for rejecting the Lord. And we can look at verse 6 to see how the Lord describes that person's punishment. It's kind of like a hell on earth, a beginning of the eternal hell that he will suffer if he does not turn to the Lord and repent. He's like a shrub in the desert. That's what our scripture says, a shrub in the desert. Now, what's a shrub? Boys and girls, a shrub is just a little plant. It's much smaller than a tree. So just picture this little bush sitting out in the middle of the desert. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places, the thirsty places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. It's uninhabited. There's no one there. It's empty. It's barren. Notice how the Lord describes this person. It's a plant, a shrub in the desert, a shrub in the parched places of the wilderness. So just picture this. Picture this little bush just sitting there. Sitting in the middle of the wilderness, just waiting day in and day out, waiting for a drop of rain, waiting for a little bit of moisture, but nothing comes. Just a few droplets of rain so it can keep clinging to the miserable life that it has. This plant, the scripture says, it's like it's waiting for something good to come. But nothing good will come. It will not see any good come. And understand that the Lord is telling us that if we do not trust in Him, if we do not incline our heart toward Him, then we are that pitiful, pathetic shrub sitting out in the middle of the desert. No life, no future, no good. We've got nothing. And it's not going to get better. In fact, it's only going to get worse. If you don't trust in the Lord, if you don't trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation, that is who you are. It doesn't matter what you try and do for yourself. You're stuck. You're a bush in the middle of a desert. Can a shrub pick itself up and walk through the desert to go looking for a nice oasis, a nice little puddle of water for it to make its home in? No, I've never seen a plant walking around trying to find a better place to live. So if you are that plant, if you don't trust in God, If you don't love God, then pray that God will uproot you, take you out of that desert. Pray that He will change your nature and bring you to a river of flowing water and plant you where you can grow and thrive. God has to be the one to change our hearts. He is the only source of anything good. And it means that only He can give us a new heart so that we can trust in Him. And for those of us who have received that gift, who have received the gift of faith, there's good news for those of us who do trust in the Lord. There's good news, verses 7 and 8. You see, our God is the only source of everything good. And if we are those, if we are identified by a trust in the Lord, by faith, then He gives us every good gift that we need. See, look at these verses, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Consider all these blessings that we receive through faith by trusting in the Lord. First, we're like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. In other words, by faith, we are near to the source. By faith, we are near to God Himself. By faith, we are connected to Christ, who is the fountain of living water. Second, in this passage, verse 8, we see that we don't need to fear when heat comes. When heat comes into our life, when struggles and difficulties come, when our faith is tested, we don't need to lose hope. We don't need to fear. And why not? Because nothing can separate us from Christ, who is the source of the living water. We are firmly planted by that river. Our roots are connected to that living water. If you've trusted in Christ, it doesn't matter what happens. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And third, notice the last part of the verse. The tree is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This tells us that we can be confident in the Lord even when we walk through seasons of drought in our lives, seasons of struggle, when we don't have the sort of financial security we would like, when we're struggling with health issues or someone in our family is struggling with health issues, even when it appears as though things are just not going well, the Lord will sustain us. He will cause us to continue to bear fruit, and we can still be involved in bearing the fruit of His kingdom and living a life according to His kingdom. See, there are these times in all of our lives, I think we all have them, where we just have to throw up our hands and give thanks and glory to the Lord because He has humbled us. He's shown us we can't do this ourselves. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know how we were going to solve that problem. How we were going to mend that relationship. How we were going to pay that bill. How we were even going to make it through that week. But we press on by faith. We trust in the Lord. We ask the Lord for help. We ask our brothers and sisters in Christ for their prayers. And the Lord answers. He takes care of His children through the most difficult of circumstances. We can trust Him to give us this day our daily bread, to provide for all of our needs. We can trust Him to do that every day. He will provide. Now, before we conclude this evening, I want us to consider one more thing. A final reason we must put our trust in God alone is because God has provided for our salvation in Christ. And that shows that God is worthy of our trust. In the Old Testament, God fed His people, Israel, manna in the desert, right? These little flakes of bread that came down from heaven. The Scripture says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, here's the reason why God gave His people, Israel, manna. Scripture says, He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, But man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And certainly that is one reason why we gather together on the Lord's Day to hear the Word of God so that we might live by it, so that we might have life by it. But that manna that God rained down from heaven to feed His Old Testament people also pointed to something greater, pointed to a greater bread that comes down from heaven. Listen to Jesus' words. We read this earlier from John 6. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever trusts in Jesus shall never thirst." So I would leave us with the question, will we trust in God? Will we strive to grow in our trust for God when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? We're also asking God to help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in You alone. See, we can't even do that by ourselves. We can't grow that trust in ourselves. We can't do it by our own strength. Our faith, our trust, our belief, even that is a gift from God. Even that is something we must pray that God will strengthen. So we do pray, Lord, give us faith. Lord, strengthen our faith. Pour out Your Spirit so that we might trust in You more. Is that our prayer? Is that our desire? So in closing, boys and girls, the next time you sit down to eat a sandwich, remember that even that little sandwich is a gift to you from a Heavenly Father who loves you. It's a gift from your wonderful God. He cares about every little thing in your life, even that sandwich. But I want you to do something else as well. When you see that bread and when you bow your head and give thanks to God for it, remember that God has not only provided this bread for you, He has also given you the bread of life. He has given you Christ. Jesus, His only begotten Son, whose body was offered and broken for you, whose blood was shed for you for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. That is how God provides for us, by giving us the bread that comes down from heaven, the bread that gives eternal life to the world. Our Father in heaven has proven His care for us. What a good reason for us to continually ask Him to give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we